We have a lost dog, and really a little humor there, just going through the budget at the state capitol. We have a lost dog. It's a female. Beautiful picture of this little dog, and it's called a tan. It's tan and white. Doesn't have a collar, and it's a beagle mutt. I kind of resent that, calling that little thing a mutt.
You said you resemble it.
Yeah. Anyway, if you find this beautiful little dog, contact Michelle Stafford at 918-841-7833.
And we have a lost female black and brown Rottweiler northeast of Cherryvale, between Parsons and Cherryvale. It's a smaller, gentle Rottweiler. There's a notch in her lip. Could be heading toward Oklahoma. It's an interesting description.
Yeah, I know. She's decided to head south.
Yeah. Well, she knows Oklahoma certainly better than Kansas.
Oh, boy.
So contact Don at 918-440-3414 or go to BartlesvilleRadio.com. You get all the information. There may be some that come in after we give our report. And we really do need to do whatever we can to help these puppies get home.
And as I always say, if you get a pet reunited with its owner, you find your pet, it's yourself, let us know so we can take them off the list. And that is the Doggone Report for today.
The Doggone Bulletin Board is a free service. Simply call us at 336-1400 or stop by the studios here at Broadcast Center, 1200 Southeast Frank Phillips Boulevard in Bartlesville. The Doggone Bulletin Board. It's a public service of K1. 1400 KWOM.
And we'll be going to Capital Call here. It's brought to you today by Phillips 66.
This isn't a commercial. It's a gift to anyone who's sick and tired of dealing with their hearing loss. Because we'll give everyone who calls a free trial of a life-changing hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Not only that, we'll also give you free shipping and free batteries for life. But you must call now. 1-800-921-1079. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. So if you're sick of dealing with your hearing loss, let us give you a 100% free.
At Phillips 66 Gas, we strive to bring you the best in performance gasoline. But now we want to find the Phillips 66 of other things. Like Pee Wee linebacker Holden Hansen. He tackles quarterbacks like we tackle dirty injectors. He dislodges pigskins like we dislodge engine deposits. That's why he's the Phillips 66 of Pee Wee linebackers. For the Phillips 66 of gas, visit your local Phillips 66 station. We've been working for over 80 years to bring you the best in performance gasoline.
This is One-on-One with the Professional on AM 1400 K1, a sponsored opportunity to talk about the people, products, and services of a local business or political concern. This is a paid interview, and the statements and opinions expressed are those of the guests of the program and not necessarily those of the host or this station.
And it's time for Capital Call. We have Senator John Ford and Representative Earl Sears and Representative Travis Dunlap. Good morning, sirs.
Good morning, and welcome, and thank you once again, Phillips 66. Diane, thank you for allowing us to be here at the radio station.
All right.
Oh, boy, where do we begin? Where do we start? But let's get into it. I got to be honest with you. Yesterday took the wind out of the sails of many of us at the Capitol. We reported another revenue failure. We knew one was there. We were hoping it would stay around the 1.5, but that didn't hold. The monies in February coming into the state was just brutal. So we will experience another revenue failure, but it'll be as high as a 4% correction. And that means, went out yesterday, all state agencies will be cut an additional 4%, which now makes a total of 7%. The oil industry, the oil has ticked up a little bit, but still it's just not enough with the layoffs and what's going on in the oil patch and the energy sector. It's just causing a huge hit in the Oklahoma economy. We're not alone. Other oil states are experiencing the same thing. But I wished I could tell you that for the 16 budget, again, this is the existing budget. I wish I could tell you for the existing budget that we had a lot of good news in regards to what we could do, might do. All state agencies are just going to have to pull back, stop, really scrutinize their budgets in regards to where they want to spend money and how to spend their money in their particular budgets. There's no question that it will affect programs throughout the state. There's just no question on that. The good news is, on the 17 budget, the House and the Senate is working diligently to come up with a plan to help us with a soft landing for the 17 budget. I am very pleased with the work that's going on in the House and coming up with proposals and ideas. You're not hearing a lot about them because those works are being done, those energies and that conversation is going on in meetings throughout the building. But in the very near future, you'll start hearing more about proposals, programs that we will try to get behind to help us with the 17 budget. I am confident that education and our core programs will be our top priorities and helping them have a very, very soft landing. But on the same token, there's no question there will be budget cuts also in regards to this 17 budget. We need the energy sector back sooner rather than later. But the good news is we've been through this. I say good news. I don't even call it a statement. We've been through this before. We've come out of it. But again, it's just... It's just not a good time right now in regards to state budgets and state funding, but we are working diligently to come up with a plan, and I'm very confident that we will.
Okay, all right, and then we'll talk to Travis Dunlap, and what did you get done this week? What do you want to tell us about?
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you to our sponsors, of course. Thank you for my fellow legislators for doing such a good job of giving an overview of the budget. I want to talk a little bit about what we're doing on the House floor. This is one of two deadline weeks. We are, by the end of Thursday next week, we'll be done with all of the House bills that started in the House. Now, that doesn't mean they become law. They go to the Senate after we get done dealing with them. But we did some really unique and fun things in the House this week. So one of the biggest things that affects all voters is that we passed a judicial nominating committee reform bill. And this will go to a vote of the people. And it's not a finished product yet, but just know that we're working on it. And I am very pleased to report this because this is something that was a point in the elections when in the previous years. It is widely perceived across the state that our justices don't reflect the values that are important to Oklahomans. And so we're doing what we can to make sure that that is addressed in an appropriate manner. And so look for further updates on that. But we dealt with that in the House this week. And another thing that's really exciting, and this is may come across as a little partisan, but I'll tell you at the end why I think it's not. We passed a bill out of the House this week that allows schools to begin teaching about the value of an unborn child in the classroom. And the reason I say that's important is, first of all, if you believe that that life begins at conception, this is something that's going to reinforce that belief. But if you don't believe that, this is something that is widely perceived to affect later in life, as kids who are taught that grow up, occurrences of abuse become less likely, and appreciation for the dignity of mankind in all situations becomes more widely accepted as a value. And so I think that's good all across the board, and I'm happy to report that we are working on that. I will also report that this week was a week where the bill that I've been working on regarding expungements, or second chances, record clearing as I like to call it, passed out of the House unanimously with a vote of 88-0. So I was very pleased and welcoming of bipartisan support of that bill. The Senate author now has control of it, Senator Sykes, and I'm confident that he's going to treat it well. He seems to be sold on the idea that we need to do some work in that area. And so there are some good things going on, even though a lot of the news that's coming out of the Capitol is bad. And so hopefully we can continue to work on bills that reflect the values that we were sent there to take care of. And I'm happy to report on a lot of those things. So we also dealt with, real quickly I'll talk, we dealt with some we did our first significant work on the budget on the House floor this week in the terms of we needed to have a vehicle available to us to save the healthcare authority some money. And so that was a big issue this week, and but it's just hard decisions have to be made. The budget needs to be balanced. So did I cover it up well enough?
Yeah, you did. I don't know why. Just a little tickle in the back of my throat. But anyways, all right, thanks, Travis. And now we will hear from Senator Ford.
Well, in 12 years, this was probably one of the best weeks, one I've been looking forward to a lot, other than the fact that I turned 70 this week.
Yay!
I had my wife... Both of our children, my daughter Jennifer from lives in Dallas now, my son Jack and his wife Erin in Bentonville, and all four of our grandchildren came down to the Capitol. The grandchildren had been there once before, but I wanted them to come in once again before I left the Senate. Yesterday morning, I had them on the floor of the Senate, introduced them to everybody. They each got to vote on a bill. And I was kind of surprised because for a minute or two, they were actually paying attention. And for a 10-year-old to pay attention to what we do on the floor of the Senate is an amazing thing.
It didn't last long, though, did it?
No, it didn't last long. But it was just a wonderful week. It was good to have them there. They enjoyed it. And I tell you, life is awfully good.
Oh, good.
But getting back to legislation, it was a full, busy week in the Senate. Certainly, Representative Sears has talked about the additional revenue shortfall, and that is devastating and something we're going to have to work through. But, you know, when crude goes from over $110 a barrel down to under 30, these are the kind of things that happens. But a couple of things I think that were good. We did pass the Family Promise Bill. That's mm-hmm. the one that Bartlesville, Shawnee, and Lautner are involved in. It allows churches really just to do what churches have always done. That's to hold mission groups, youth lock-ins. And this Family Promise is a great concept. Takes families that are having difficulties during the day. The parents get classes in parenting and finance and learn how to manage a house budget. In the evening, they can spend time rotating from churches, spending the night. And there were some concerns about, did this change the codes that a church should be under? And I don't believe it should. We just put in this legislation that if a church participates in this, it does not make it like a bed and breakfast or a hotel.
No. Just tell them someplace to have shelter for the night.
Absolutely. Unanimous support. I was pleased on that. The other bill that got out of the House is educators are very supportive of. It ends the end of instruction exams. Puts the responsibility back on the local districts for determining if a student has actually met the requirements of mastery of all the courses that are required to graduate. And this is kind of a two-edged sword. Good districts like Bartlesville, our students are not going to graduate unless they have absolutely learned what they need to do. Some other districts maybe that aren't as diligent, a little concern there, but we're trying to put some assessments in place that are not high stakes, but at least we can identify these districts and then through the State Department of Education work with those districts to improve the process that they're working on. So it was a good week. Those bills go to the House. Travis, I'm fortunate, is my author on the Family Promise, and I know we're going to be in good shape over there.
Yeah, I talked to Bob Schell recently,
yes,
the president of Family Promise. And, you got to have somewhere for people to go. So changing the rules on that a little bit, I think, is a good thing. Like you said, it's not that they're going to be living there.
Right.
It's just some place to be inside and not have to sleep in their car or something.
And
like
the way I like to explain it, this bill just allows churches to do what churches have always done.
And help people.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Yeah, I like that bill.
Let me say one thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Representative Sears does not get enough credit because generally when any issue comes up, whichever of the three of us get contacted first, we kind of carry the ball for the other two.
Okay.
And Earl had numerous meetings with the city, with fire, with the Family Promise, state officials, and had done so much of the work. And then when we started session, Earl came to me, and because of the importance that he has on the budgeting and the shortage, He said he really needed to devote 100% of his effort there and ask if I would take over and develop the bill and for me to be the Senate author and Travis to be the House author, and I was pleased to do that. Seems like I'm getting a lot of the credit, but I just want people to know that Earl, behind the scenes and before we got to where I've been able to step in the limelight, he did a tremendous amount of legwork and got things in place that we're just kind of moving forward with.
Okay, good deal. All right, well, we have run ourselves out of time.
We're done?
We're done.
Hey, again, we will be looking forward to talking to you next Friday, and we want to say thank you to Phillip 66 and thank all of you for your kind notes and support, and we'll keep representing you to the best of our ability at the state capitol.
All right, thank you, sirs. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1.
All of the world, I've asked parents particularly, what is the greatest gift a parent can give a child? And all of the world, parents put their hands up, love. Love is the greatest gift. They're right, but there's another gift.
On today's Focus on the Family Minute, Rob Parsons.